You're listening to the League of Ordinary Gentlemen podcast with your hosts, Brent and Angelo. This is episode number 108 of your favorite podcast and mine, Total Eclipse of the Lugue. Angelo, how are you this week?
I'm doing okay, Brent. As the listeners will probably notice, I'm a little bit nasally this week. I'm
battling.
Ear infection that I had when I was a kid. It disappeared, and then I had kids, and it reappeared in my life as a annual thing that I get. So I've got it now, and I believe that actually the ear infection was perpetuated even further from all of the talk of your greatness. I think I actually am losing my hearing.
All I heard out of all of that, Angelo, honestly, was that this is Peter's fault.
Yes.
You're blaming everything on him, including my greatness, which I can't, I guess, but I mean, I'm sorry to hear that you're not feeling good, first of all, because that's the type of person I am, compassionate. And I'm also sorry that you are trying to blame my, is that Snowball?
Yeah, this is gonna just a sec. You know what? I think you might want to go upstairs. I'm not sure. He's does anybody want a cat? This episode is sponsored by the Humane Society, where you can get really nice cats. And if you'd like one, just let me know.
We're having these random guests from the Truehouse household each week. So last week was Kelly, if our listeners remember, and then this week it's Snowball, who's upset.
She was fabulous on the podcast too, right?
Yeah, I thought it was absolutely, let us know what you thought. And that was just a taste of what is to come with the full-on wigs episode that we keep promising and not delivering. But listen, we will do that. I have no idea what I was talking about earlier, but we have a pretty big lineup for this episode, don't we?
Yes. Well, this episode's called Total Eclipse of the Lugue in honor of the celestial event that is happening on Monday. We are going to... and scientists have warned us, but we're going to do this. We're going to stare directly at some of the most blinding player performances of the year. So three worst performances in each of our positional categories. And then as a bonus, three retina burning bad trades. Before that, we'll do all of the typical segments that we talk about. So winners, losers, who's hot, who's not, Lugue news. And then, of course, starting with NHL news.
I can hardly wait to the main topic where we get to be old men staring at the sun and shaking our fists in the air. It's going to be absolutely epic. But listen, let's start with just before we move on, I think some managers are already getting nervous when we talk about retina burning trades. But we'll leave it at that right now. I think that's already crept in some panic for some people. But listen, let's start with some NHL news. And that Rangers Devils game was quite something,
wasn't it something? So I have to say I'd been following it in passing, that young guy from the Rangers who's fighting, I can't remember his name, he did a couple of bad checks, got suspended both games against New Jersey, was told by the coach not to drop the gloves. So this was, ever important hockey code really defines our game and makes it wonderful. That there had to be, you had to pay the price. And so this was the price. But instead of just a one-on-one fight, the game started with a good old-fashioned brouhaha with all five players on the ice having a go.
Yeah. It's interesting because you listen to different takes on this, right? Some celebrate it because they're the diehard, fighting belongs in the game, and others deplore this type of behavior, and it brings a bad spotlight onto the NHL and into hockey. I was driving into work listening to CNN, and it's interesting how that type of media, I would say, deals with these types. I'm not even sure the context and why it actually came up, because they never talk about hockey or anything, really related to anything outside of the upcoming American election. But they were going on about this event and trying to connect it to Canada in some capacity. So I wasn't really following it, but it was entertaining nonetheless. But listen, I don't think, you know, this kind of stuff belongs in the game. This is kind of why we took penalty minutes out in some ways, out of the league as well.
Well, you know, I respect that people have varying opinions. I happen to be on yours. Like, I look at this, Matt Rempe is the young guy, you know, what, 20, 21 years old. If you look at his face, like black eyes from fighting, he's been in a number of fights against some really, really big, tough, older men in the league. And he's taken a couple of thumpings and it's being celebrated, but we've unfortunately seen how this movie ends for some of these enforcers, including, you know, not wishing anything bad to happen to this kid, but you know, there's a list of former enforcers who are no longer on this earth. And, you know, without question, you know, concussions and repeated blows to the head have to have some sort of factor with former enforcers killing themselves, including, unfortunately, Chris Simon recently. So, yeah. You know, I get the entertainment value is there. Eventually, we've already had a guy die in junior. Someone is going to die in a fight, and people will be like, oh my gosh, we need to really look at this. Or, you know, we've also seen this code. The whole code thing is so stupid. I get so disappointed in hockey sometimes, I must say. We got to, you know, we'll start cracking jokes soon. But the whole code thing, like, you'd think after the whole Bertuzzi thing and the more, you recall, to rectify a previous hit or fight that happened in a previous game. I can't remember. It's like 20 years ago. But, you know, and then he gets his neck broken with a slash to the back of the head. Like, well, there you go. There's your retribution. There's your hockey code. Perfect. So, anyways, entertainment. We're starting to talk about it at the beginning of this episode. But this movie ends bad for a lot of people down the road, I think.
Yeah,
including Snowball.
It's including Snowball, who just chimed in. But listen, yeah, it's not a good look on for hockey at all. You know, you'd think at one point people would wise up in terms of the tons of evidence. You know, like as you mentioned, with respect to studies to see how all of this ends, and it's not pretty in any capacity. In any way. So listen, we'll switch gears here to something a little bit.
Hold on. I have one more thing to say.
Yeah,
I do have to say something. So many years ago, there was a fight. It was an Ottawa Senators Toronto Maple Leafs game, and it was an Ottawa rookie who had just been called up from the AHL.
Yeah,
and an enforcer for Toronto. And again, I don't remember the two characters, and it doesn't really matter. But the Ottawa player got knocked out cold.
Like, yeah,
completely.
I remember that.
KO'd. Yeah. And on the Globe and Mail, they had like a chat thing going. And I was like, did I ever tell you this?
No, I can't recall, but
I hop on and I'm like, this is excellent. Like I think Peter was like 4 years old at the time watching the game. And I'm like, so this is the kind of thing that my son is going to learn that he needs to do to play hockey. Yeah. And then I just asked a question. I said, can someone give me one compelling reason why that moment had to happen in a sporting event? And the responses were, I should sign my son up for opera instead. Yeah. I need to get him a tutu for gymnastics. Like, there were all of these. I'm like, you have, and all I would say is no one has given me a compelling point. So in conclusion, my son should go into opera and wear a gymnastics tutu because someone got knocked out. And then I asked the question, if it's so important, how come it doesn't exist in the playoffs or in the most exciting international sporting event for hockey, which is the Olympics?
That's right.
2010 Olympics, I think Canada got in zero fights.
Yeah.
And we won the gold medal, one of the greatest moments in modern hockey history. So anyways, let's kind of leave it at that. And on we go. I think maybe do you think a couple of guys are going to drop out of who disagrees with us and is dropping out of the league because of this?
Well, this is really interesting hockey. Because I was thinking the same thing. Like who are the scrappers? Who are the fighters in the league? Like, who would, you know, if we were all in a room, who would be eyeing up who and starting to push their sleeves up?
Okay, I'm going to throw the name out, and you tell me who's potentially don't come back at us and drop out of the league. Warham, absolutely not.
No. He's a poet.
He's a poet. You know my stance. I'm just looking at random players here. Gibby. He could. Gibby gets feisty sometimes.
Yeah, Gibby could. Yeah.
He could come at. A PMF?
No, not going to say PMF, no.
Oh, I'm going to say yes, he is, because he's a sleep-deprived father of a young child right now.
Oh, yeah, lack of judgment. Could be just, and then apologize right after. While he's hitting you, he's saying, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm doing.
We know Holds, he's a brawler.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah. Yeah.
So Holdsy, that's two. So Gibby and Holdsy right now are against us. Gump?
No, because he knows the legal ramifications of everything.
Oh, that's right. OPP officer. So, yeah. Bowlby?
No, Bowlby would be getting Blair to do his fighting for him. Mm. That's how I look. I kind of like gather that relationship. Like Bowlby would be saying, hey, that guy just, you know, whatever. And Blair would be like, what? And then
he's also a goalie dad, so he's busy putting the GoPro on the
helmet
to get the coverage of the game. Okay, we know your side. Robka. Yeah. What about Robka?
Oh, that's interesting. Because he's so eloquent, right? Like he's the other poet of the Lugue, right?
He's as close to Gandhi as I've ever met. So
So it's not gonna happen. No, but we kind of have two poet laureates, which we'll do an episode probably down the road, see if those two can battle it out with words instead of fists. So
I would say keep going. Blair, definitely. He's on team fighting because him and Holdsy, I remember Doug and I watched the Rogue Hockey League when it was here in Belleville, and there the kids were, I don't know, 7 or 8 years old, I believe, and there were 6 fights.
Yeah.
Including 3 parent fights.
Uh-huh. What but about Nick?
Because it's a Rogue Hockey League, they make up their own rules. Kids just got a 2-minute penalty. They're back on the ice.
There we go.
All right. Nick?
Nick. Nick's a tormentor. So, I mean, he's got it in him. I don't know if he would actually, like, you know, execute on a fight or whatever, but you know, he's got it in him for sure.
And then Mike is like the Kenny Linsman of the pool. He would be the one who would go in and spear to start it.
Yeah.
And then just go for a quick line change.
Yeah. And have a sandwich.
We're going to be nicer to Mike. Last week's episode for Mike. Right. And that's a compliment. What I just said there was a compliment.
Speaking of Mike, what did you think of the playlist that we did?
I got really sad. I found myself driving very slow.
Yeah. Were you crying because you could get all the tears in your eyes? You couldn't
really see?
I
thought it was raining outside. And then I felt my cheeks. I'm like, no, those are not tears streaming down my eyes from all these.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
That kind of music, though. I have kids tell me all the time in class. They ask me if I'm okay when I'm playing music. Are you okay, Mr. Truss? I'm like, yeah, why? Like, your music is making me very sad.
You should play it for a playlist. Play it for your class and see what they think.
Yeah, I will. All right, let's keep going here. Listen, the last NHL thing we need to talk about is the race in the East.
Isn't this something?
Amazing, eh?
This is so for our listeners here, like the wild card race is really starting to really heat up, isn't it? Like, so when we look at the East, for the final wild card spot, there's 5 teams fighting for that spot, and Pittsburgh has seemingly kind of come out of nowhere. So a couple of weeks ago, we talked about, you know, maybe they could claw back into it. But here we have, you know, Tampa Bay, that they're in, obviously, like they've secured that. But so the last spot is open to Philly at 83, Washington at 82, Detroit at 82, Pittsburgh at 81. And then you can kind of throw Buffalo in there a little bit at 79, right? So my goodness, this is quite something. And we look at the Penguins, they're on a 3-game win streak right now too. So they're heating up just at the right time.
Yeah, so there's 2 spots left. Surprisingly, one of the wild card spots is taken. So Tampa's gone on a really good run here, 8-1-1 in their last 10, and they've secured their playoff spot. So we have 6 spots open. The 2 spots that are open are the 3rd slot in the Metropolitan, which New York, Washington, or Pittsburgh can take. And then we've got the wild card spot as well, where and add Detroit and Buffalo into the mix there. So, yeah, I think Buffalo is going to be, they would have to win out, and even then they would have to get some help. But I would love to see Pittsburgh back in. I mean, Crosby's been playing incredible, and I hate Detroit, and Washington is really boring in my mind. So I would love to see Pittsburgh sneak in there and take that spot.
It's interesting when you take a look at this stuff, right? So, like, Detroit has been able to kind of turn things around over the last couple of years, which is interesting to see in that franchise, right? They were really struggling. But what do you make of the Devils this year? Like, completely out of it. And who would have actually called that one? Are we chalking it up just simply to goaltending, or what do we do? But I don't think I would have actually pegged out one at the beginning of the year for sure.
Two things for me: they switched up their defensive mix a little bit. I think Ryan Graves was traded, and apparently he's not having a great season in Pittsburgh, but he was a reliable defenseman. And then Doug Hamilton got hurt early in the season, so there you've lost two of your top six defensemen. And then going back to don't forget, Mike kept Vanecek. There were high hopes that this guy was going to be a legitimate goalie for them, to the point where one of the guys in the pool actually kept him, and it was a wise decision at the time. So put in how terrible the goaltending is, the defense fell apart a bit, Jack Hughes gets hurt, and then next thing you know, that's worth, call it 6 or 7 wins, another 12 or 14 points, and they've clinched a playoff spot. So I think they will be just fine next year. Just a series of bad luck and then bad goaltending for them.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's definitely something I don't think we were necessarily predicting at the beginning of the year. And I don't know if we were actually predicting if Crosby should be in the conversation at the beginning of should be in the conversation as a potential Hart candidate. What do you think there?
Well, I think he has to be now. If they make the playoffs, there's no way you can't. With the stats he's been putting up recently, 15 points in 6 games or something like that.
Yeah.
How can you not say that, Hart Trophy goes to the player who's most valuable to his team? And I believe that he is certainly the definition of that. So I don't think he'll win it. I think MacKinnon and Kucherov and McDavid are having incredible years. Like McDavid's 100 assists is, only 4 players in NHL history have done it. So they're all having great years. Austin Matthews obviously is flirting with 70, but I don't believe he's in the Hart conversation. And then Connor Hellebuyck, we talked about a few episodes ago, as someone who's made Winnipeg a surprising bit of a Cinderella story this year. So I think Crosby needs, if they make the playoffs, he's a top 3 finalist. If they don't, then I don't think he quite makes it there.
Yeah, he needs to be on the ticket at least. But listen, I think we're all rooting for Crosby for sure, and the Penguins to see if they can squeak in here. It would make the playoffs a little bit more exciting too, and just fun to watch. So let's keep moving along here. We got some lewd news to go through.
Well, I was going to say, I think because we're going to basically talk about the top 4. I think it fits in with winners and losers. So do you want to flip over to winners and losers and do Loop News together? Because I think as we look at the standings here, there's some really interesting things happening. Is that good with you?
Yeah, that works for me.
So if you look at the standings now, Zoltok has built a 7.5 point lead on Nick as of this morning. But if you look
below that's something.
We now have a battle actually between Mike, who's actually closer to Nick than Nick is to Zoltok. Mike is only 6.5 points away from Nick as of the time we're shooting this. And then if you look one step further, you're only 1 point behind Mike. And I had this epiphany, and actually I lost some sleep over it. You're only 16.5 points out of first now.
Yeah, and can you just imagine what
does, no,
that would just be it would be the greatest story of all time. At least I think it would be, but listen, I'm definitely not, I don't think I'm in at all in the conversation for first. Second, it's a bit of a stretch. I don't know. I jump over Mike, but he just claws back, and I'm, if I'm open and honest and transparent here, I'm a bit nervous in terms of actually even trying to finish, in the third. I know games are starting to get lean. We're getting down to that end of the season, so people are going to be starting to max out if they haven't already. Game management is huge at this point. McDavid had a big night in Drysdale because they're back on that line. That helps me for sure. But when you start, woke up this morning laying in bed here, going through the overall standings and goals and points and everything else, and It's so incredibly close. And if you look at the closest category, I think that we have here, that's going to be a determining factor at some level is save percentage, believe it or not. So,
oh yeah, it's super tight.
Yeah. It's so scary. I've never seen something like this. So it's going to be an awesome finish. You know, it's amazing to see how, you know, when we'll talk, we'll get down actually into the winners and losers here, the story of Robka this season and how, he's been able to fight off, at least right now, he's been able to fight off and get a little bit of space between everybody else, right? So that people seem to get so close, maybe jump over him for a moment or two, but he's been able to push them away, and it's quite the story for sure. But let's actually get into some winners and losers here, and then we'll, as you mentioned, we'll combine Luke News when it comes down to that too.
Well, I think our biggest winner this week, so let's Supremes, chose we'll start with winners because I have it just shows he is a difference maker. He's not going to win, and he'll finish 7th, 8th, and 9th. But every week, he's a winner or a loser. So he is impacting the standings. So last week, he went -5. This week, he's +4. He seems to be almost every week or every other week, he's in the winners and losers category. So, you know, I haven't looked close enough, but the top three or top four guys could actually be impacted plus or minus based on the volatility of Gump's team.
He is the title of difference maker, I think, is a good one for him right now, because you're right. He's back and forth on the winner side or the loser side of the ledger each week. It's impacting everybody else for sure. It's fun to watch. I mean, I'm sure it's a different perspective for him, but it's really fun to watch for, I think, everybody else, because it throws a bit of a curveball and more excitement into the table each week. So good on Gump. It's great to see him on the winner's side. And I think this is also, you know, an indication of better things to come for him. He's going to have a better finish than he's had in the past number of years. So I think he's going to be on his way up for sure next year, and you'll see an even better Cutlass Supremes for sure. The second biggest winner, I'll just turn this one over to you.
Well, of course. Thank you for doing that. So it's you at +3, which really isn't that significant. You know, it's not a big jump. However, when added to your +3 from last week, mm-hmm. and your +5.5 from the week before,
yeah,
now things are getting interesting. So you are well above the century mark now at 111.5. As we mentioned, you're only one back of Mike. You're only 7.5 back mm-hmm. from Nick in second. And the scary thing is, you know, you could say, manager's getting lucky, a couple players getting hot. But when you have Austin Matthews, Leon Draisaitl, Connor McDavid, it's not a fluke. And
it's not.
So I think that not just Mike, but I think the top three need to hope that this season ends as soon as possible, or that now that Edmonton has made the playoffs and Toronto has made the playoffs, we get into everyone's favorite pro sport term, load management, and these guys start getting some nights off. Because otherwise, I fear, and I texted Doug the other night this, I said, I actually fear that Brent could win this in a bizarre sort of way. And Mike or Doug thinks you're going to run out of runway. I think he's might be right.
I think he's right.
There's a month left in the season. I would bet all my money on the Luke betting app. I'd put it all on you winning it.
See, the return would be huge, because I think Bobby's right in that, in terms of, you know, me running out of runway. But, you know, just as like we talked about with Gump and the impact that is having, you know, if I don't money this year, it's going to have some sort of an impact on the top three at some level, because things are so close, right? So, you know, could Mike actually finish in second? There's a great story there. And what would Nick do? I think Nick would actually become a fighter at that point. So we shall see. The third biggest winner this week is the great Heisenberg, with just a half a point behind me in terms of a jump. At 2.5 points, the gentleman is up to 71 points. So last week he was at 68.5. The week before that he was 69.5. So he's trending upwards, which is great to see.
Yeah, and I don't, we've said this before, I don't think whether he finishes eighth or seventh is of any
no.
concern to him. However, when we look at who's hot and who's not, there's a reason why he went up plus 2.5, and this will, to me, if I was in Heisenberg's camp right now, is the actual excitement of the whole week. So it's not the going plus 2.5. Once you get over to who's hot, you'll see there's a very specific reason why Blair's team jumped this week, and I would be very excited for next year if I was Blair based on what happened in the last week.
Well, and then you take a look at this, and this is the other side of it, right? The excitement, we'll get to the exactly the who's hot, who's not piece, but those managers in the bottom half of the pool have done the work to set things up for next year. And so, you know, I don't think we're going to see those managers necessarily sitting where they are right now next year at this particular time. So that's got to be something to cheer for them as well. Obviously, they want to play a little bit of a disruptor in the table, which they are. But there's lots to hope for moving forward. Let's switch to the loser side here. We're going for the third biggest loser is Nick in a Box with a drop. And this is painful, right? And this is a drop of 3.5 points. This is at a time that he is fighting Mike off right now, and he's trying to claw those points away from Robka, and with Robka jumping up to 127.5, Nick dropping down 3.5. It's not the greatest story right now for him.
Well, again, this is the tightening of the standings that we're talking about here. And I think really, do we have one or two podcasts before the end of the season? I'm not sure. We just need to go right to the standings and do the winners and losers and league updates at the same time, because all that matters right now is money. Where everyone else finishes, nobody cares anymore.
That's right.
And everyone's paying attention to the top four and seeing what things are going on. So with Nick losing 3.5, you can't afford, like, you've made a 6.5 point gain on him with your plus three. And as you mentioned with Mike going plus 1.5, that's a 5 point swing in 1 week, which is huge. And then Robka went up 0.5. So he's created a 4 point extra gap. So all of these, you know, it really winners and losers doesn't matter for anyone except for you, Mike, Nick, and Robka at this point. So that's a 3.5 is significant. And, a jump or a drop like this in the final weeks could be the difference between winning, finishing second, third, or fourth.
Yeah, I'm kind of flipping through his week, and he's had an okay week. It's just when you have things so tight, you know, in categories with other managers, if they have a decent night too, it's your gains are just washed away. So sucks for Nick for sure. It also sucks for our second biggest loser, Holdsy, with Southstars dropping 5 points this week over last. So last week he was at 64.5, and he was one of the biggest winners last week with a 4.5 point jump. That's completely washed away with a five. It looks like a 5.5 point drop. He's down to 59 in 10th position.
Yeah, and firmly, I mean, psychologically, getting into the 50s doesn't feel good. Expansion franchise, not supposed to do well in the first year. I think he's been very active and a really nice addition to the pool. The standings at this point for him are what they are. He has built up. He's got a whole collection of potential keepers for next year, a whole lot of options and a whole lot of strategies. I predict that he will be, and we've said this before, the fastest manager to go from expansion to champion. I think he will be the fastest, and he might do it as early as next year. So, yeah, he lost 5.5 this week. Who cares? So you're in 10th. Maybe you could have been in 9th right now. But he is in 9th. Sorry, not in 10th. Salt Lake Sandpipers went minus 5.5 is our biggest loser. So unfamiliar ground for Robbie, not typically where he stands. Does he have the keepers? He actually concerns me a little bit for next year because he did not make as many trades for keepers. But that said, he's got Connor Bedard.
Yeah. Yeah. At the very least, he has Bedard, who's going to be a superstar for sure. And, you know, and if you were ever to trade him away, the return would be absolutely massive, right? So I think he's going to be okay. He's always strategic moving into the draft and into next year. But again, you know, he's at 61, so he's over that, you know, psychological hump there too, but not where he wants to finish, and definitely not this week where he wants to be on the loser side of the ledger.
And that's it, I say.
So that's, what do you think? That is, yeah. What's that?
Sorry, I was just about to cough. Let's get into who's hot, who's not.
Yeah, I am. Let's switch over to who's hot, who's not. Again, this is our newer segment here, where we take a look at three hot players, three not so hot players here. And let's start off with Jake Oettinger of Dallas on Bowlby's team. That was a trade that I did with him. Hopefully, it's not in one of the worst trades of the season when we get to the and get into the main topic. But listen, when a guy's playing like this, this is with a PR7 of 35.63, three wins, two shutouts, 0.988 save percentage. That has major impact when it comes to those four managers that are needing to actually stay or grow a little bit on those goalie categories. When a manager below them with Bowlby is pulling those stats away and Oettinger's having that kind of a night.
Well, this is the Oettinger that Doug wanted to trade for, and he's been 100%. Actually largely absent for Dallas all season.
Yeah.
And then this week he came alive. Like he almost saved every single shot. He let in one goal in three games. Like, just an incredible, probably the best goalie performance we've seen in a 7-day period of any goalie this year. A PR7 of 35.63 is unheard of. And again, that's where you get excited for next year, where I don't think Doug ever wavered from the value of Oettinger as a goalie, certainly at the price he's at, but this has to make you feel good. And then let's get to Blair and Tage Thompson. This is why Blair went up this week. 6 goals in 4 games, 3 assists, plus 3, PR7 of 22.92. If you are Doug and if you are Blair, you have to be pumped about the keepers you have for next year.
Yeah, another one of the players that I traded away. So, like, you know, this was in this was in the Matthews deal, right? I think so.
Thompson?
No.
You got
My Draisaitl deal. Draisaitl. Yeah, this was my Draisaitl deal. So again, you know, Thompson wasn't, you know, really having the you know, his previous type seasons in the past. So, you know, I dealt him away. Draisaitl superstar. So, but listen, this is the return that the Heisenberg wanted. So, like, and he's getting it with 6 goals in 4 games.
Yeah, and then our third guy is a term keeper. He's going to free agency, so everyone should be excited about this. Nikita Kucherov, PR7 of 22.82, 4 games played, 9 points, 8 assists, 16 shots on goals. He is not slowing down at all.
No, it's unreal. And then you look at the what's going to be the Kucherov effect as well. Like, again, who are the players that he's playing with, right? So that will be the secondary layer come draft time is obviously everybody's targeting him perpetually, seemingly to be on that who's hot list each and every week. So let's switch over to who's not here, and this is another player that I dealt away, but perhaps at the best time because it's really hurt Nick in a box, and that's Georgiev.
Yeah, so he goes minus 20.41 for his PR7, 10 goals allowed in 2 games, a 782 save percentage, 0 wins on a Stanley Cup favorite team. A Georgiev, absolute stinker of a week for Nick. And this is where probably Nick dropped in the standings, because he needs goalies to perform right now and get him points in those 4 very important goalie categories.
Yeah, when we look at save percentage, right, and when you have a week here of with a save percentage of 0.782, I don't know if I've ever seen it that low, maybe. But when you have definitely not tied to an elite goaltender like that, that hurts, right? And that category is so tight here. So for sure, Nick is concerned. He's pacing, I'm sure. And we'll see what next week brings with Georgiev, and hopefully for Nick, it's much of the same for him. So Heisenberg hits the list again. here for a player that is not so hot, and that's Keandre Miller. Drop of 6.1 with a PR7, drop of 6.1 in four games, 0 points, minus 4.2 shots on goal. That's not good enough for sure.
No, the guy, not a good week for him. And he also got ejected from that New Jersey game. So I guess his one win was he won his fight against Marino or whoever he fought.
Yeah.
But minus six. We've been seeing a few defensemen on the who's not list since we've started this segment. And Keandre Miller was the worst of them all this week. And then the other one for Holdsy, Valerie Nichushkin. I cannot pronounce that guy's name. Nichushkin.
And welcome to the club. I can't pronounce half of the players in the NHL, so...
Yeah, I feel so bad. Hey, listen, you said Sidney Crosby without stumbling today, which was awesome. Right. Can you say what Mika's last name from New York Rangers?
We're not doing that. We're not okay. Doing this.
All right. Minus 509 for very good. For Valerie N. Zeros across the board. You don't see this too often, but a forward who got no points anywhere except for a minus one and a plus minus. So not a great week for a couple of Colorado guys. And that's your who's hot, who's not list for the week. Ottinger, Thompson, Kucherov are your hot guys. And Georgiev, Miller, and Nichushkin are not hot this week.
So listen, you just made an interesting comment that we're seeing a lot of defensemen on the who's not kind of week over week. Is that passing things to come as a category that is going to be, you know, challenging for managers to fill moving into next year? I mean, I know it's posed me a bit of a challenge this year, but I mean, trying to find those defensemen, keep those defensemen if, you know, they're cheap or not. But I'm just wondering what your thoughts are with that, because we're seeing a number of defensemen on that list.
Well, interesting you say that, because I actually am pondering who my keepers are. And yeah. I have a few defensemen in mind, and their performance has been like a roller coaster. So now I'm starting to question their value as keepers. So I think that's a tricky guy. We talk about goalies being tricky, and nothing trickier than picking a good goalie. But yeah, like you've got Cale Makar and Quinn Hughes, Roman Josi are guaranteed.
Yeah.
Bouchard from Edmonton, probably a guarantee. And then after that, you know, we're seeing guys who were ranked fifth. Now they're ranked 20th in the defensive category. So yeah, tricky one for sure.
Yeah, that's one I wanted to get your thoughts on, because it's one that keeps me up a little bit at night in terms of a category. The others kind of seem to sort themselves out a little bit more easier for me, but it's always that defense that is a bit of a challenge. So listen, that is who's hot, who's not. We've completed our winners and losers. It is on to our main topic.
So here we go. We've got the eclipse coming up in a couple of short days. Hopefully everyone – did you get glasses?
Yep.
Yeah, nice.
Did you?
I'm just going to wear my sunglasses. I got a really nice pair of sunglasses at Shoppers Drug Mart.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to use those, I think. They're nice and dark, and I'm just going to set up a chair and just look up at the sky.
Anyway. I think you should just get some of those readers that you get at Shoppers. Don't even get the actual sunglasses. Just get some reading glasses that magnify.
Yes.
And that way you can kind of just get a better view of things.
I also have a monocle. As you know, I like to wear a monocle once in a while, just as part of my style. And I might use that as well on Monday. So I'm not sure. I've got a number of eyewear options that I'm currently looking at, and I believe all of them have been approved by NASA.
Yeah.
So there's a NASA sticker on the side of them. Now
is NASA it spelled right?
No, it's NASAA.
Close enough.
So, but it's the Solar Eclipse Association. Solar Eclipse Association.
Yeah, that's fine.
But I've tried them on and I've stared at the sun so far and nothing bad has happened. So.
Really? I know. I mean, you'll be fine. Trust me, you'll be fine.
Well, let's burn our retinas in another way by looking at some of these player performances and finding the trades. So let's start with center Pierre-Luc Dubois. What a stinker of a season he's had, ranked 64th. Wow. He only has 49 points this year, minus nine, seven power play points. As someone who is supposed to be not the number one center, because that's Anze Kopitar, but the number two center and somebody who would do special, I think he used to get shorthanded points even, the specialty points guy. None of that's happening this year. He's been largely demoted to the bottom nine, averaging, you know, about a half a point a game, and hopes were high for him. He was purchased for $98 at the draft by Gibby.
Yeah, and this is, again, there was a bit of hype surrounding this player for sure. You know, new start, fresh city, new teammates that would come in and be a changing force, and it definitely hasn't happened here. And you know, when you look back at Gibby, you know, two players that Gibby spent, one has been, you know, an absolute beast, and the other has been Pierre-Luc Dubois.
So our second guy, Tomáš Hertl, ranked 93 on the IR for a large part of the season, only 34 points for this guy, and his plus minus in 48 games is minus 26. Like, that's a category killer if ever I've seen one. And two power play goals for the guy who's supposed to be, even though San Jose is terrible, he is supposed to be their goal scorer. Two power play goals on the year. So $8 million a year player was supposed to be an elite centerman. Instead, he's been an IR guy shipped to Vegas. And is he more than a footnote in our pool anymore?
Well, that's what I was just about to ask. And I don't necessarily see this changing for next year. I don't see people, especially with the quality that's coming into the draft, people targeting Tomáš. But listen, stranger things have happened here. But I would agree with you. I think people have moved on from him, even though he's with a much improved, better team than the Sharks. But I think you might just be right. He just might be a footnote in the league right now.
All right, who's our third centerman?
This is Josh Norris. This is ranked 67. I don't think anybody would have predicted that at all. In 50 games played, 16 goals, 30 points, 12 power play points. Just something that's not good enough for a player had a bit of hype around him for sure at the beginning of the season.
No, I mean, and Doug spent 41, not a crazy bit at draft, but, took a flyer on him and then dropped him shortly thereafter because of his performance. But then third serious shoulder injury in his young career, like his career is now in jeopardy. But at the start of the season, there was a lot of optimism that he was Ottawa's top centerman playing with, Brady Tkachuk and Drake Batherson or Claude Giroux. A very strong lineup. He'd scored 30 in the NHL already. He was coming in healthy and has been, this is why we call this the eclipse, because staring at his stats for too long will really hurt you.
Yeah. And those are our three centers here. And I think it actually gets even more blinding when we move to left wing. I'm not sure what you're thinking about this.
This might be, maybe the most blinding of the categories we're going to look at. And we'll just name the players. Evander Kane, Johnny Gaudreau, and Jonathan Huberdeau are your blinding total eclipse of the league left wingers. We'll start with Kane, ranked 35. He just scored his first goal last night in 21 games, I believe. 39 points on the season, minus seven, 18 assists only. Like, he plays, we must remind ourselves that he signed because he was playing with Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl.
That's right.
And doing a very good job of it. But, I drafted him for five bucks, but it was just a waste of a draft position. He'll go undrafted next year.
Yeah, and this is something like at $5, I remember this is, you know, I think it took some managers back. It's like, oh, he just actually scored a really good player because he's going to line up, you know, beside either McDavid or Draisaitl. And he has just been a complete footnote on that team and in the league as well. And just, you know, when we look at blinding stats, don't stare too long at Evander Kane, because again, your retinas will burn out. And the same thing goes for Johnny Gaudreau.
I was just going to say, we can actually pair Gaudreau and Huberdeau together, because remember Gaudreau said, I'm not re-signing with Calgary, and went to Columbus.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And then Tkachuk said, I'm not re-signing. So they shipped him to Florida and Huberdeau was kind of brought in as a remedy to losing this offensive output. For Columbus and for Calgary, it's been a disaster. So Gaudreau, minus 26 on the season. Huberdeau, minus 27. They have both only have 11 goals on the season. From a fantasy perspective, Robbie comes out the big loser here and is blinded by the $140 he spent on Gaudreau, while Nick is maybe not hurt as much, spending $56, but they are both bad fantasy hockey acquisitions this year.
Well, and when you take a look at this, this is the interesting piece. When you take a look at these two players and how their value has, except for, I mean, the hype, I mean, Warren paid $140. Huberdeau was only drafted for $56. But next year, I mean, you could possibly and potentially see these players go undrafted.
Well, this is like the Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin effect. Like
100%.
Where players who were taken right away for hundreds of dollars now just sit in free agency and are picked up and, you know, add drop every couple of weeks.
Yeah. And then, that's left wing. And that's, you know, that's a blinding category. And I don't think, again, coming back to it, you know, obviously Warm wouldn't have paid $140. Nick definitely wouldn't have had touched Huberdeau for $56 for that. And you mentioned earlier, and you said this with Hurdle, his minus 26 is a stat killer. And it's the same thing for those two, for Gaudreau and Huberdeau, for sure, when it comes to their minus 26. And they just take up a position and do nothing for you. So let's move on to right wing.
So our first guy is Elias Lindholm, who Vancouver paid big for in real hockey. Only 41 points on the season, minus 13, 5 power play goals. You know, Lindholm was a prototypical Patrice Bergeron,
yep,
Swiss Army knife kind of guy in the Lug, usually.
When he had great seasons. I mean,
he wasn't putting up 90 points. What he was doing, but he'd be ranked in the top 10 because you would look and be like, oh, he's got 4 shorthanded points,
that's right,
6 game-winning goals, plays on the power play. He's like, you know who does that in the league really is Chris Kreider. He was like a Chris Kreider kind of player where you would see stats everywhere, just not incredibly outstanding stats everywhere. Just very steady and a guy that you would love to have on your team. But he this year in Calgary, he was no good. In Vancouver, he's been a disappointment. I believe he's on the IR right now.
Yeah.
And I spent $114 on him with some high hopes that he would find a connection with somebody on Calgary.
Yeah, there was two levels of hype for this guy, right? There was the hype that came in the beginning of the season with Calgary, never materialized. And then obviously when he got shipped off to Vancouver, there's a potential to be, again, on a better team, playing with some more elite players, perhaps. Maybe he'll find a spot there. It just definitely hasn't happened. As you said, he sits on free agency. And I think we know where he's going to sit come draft time as well. So.
Okay, so on to our next guy. Let's rewind 8 years.
Yeah.
2016 NHL entry draft. Toronto wins the lottery and gets the first pick. Winnipeg gets the second. There was a consensus top pick, but there was some debate that there was another player that could potentially match Austin Matthews' offensive flair, and that was Patrick Laine. Fast forward to 2024, and what we're seeing is a guy who put up 6 goals and 3 assists this year, but in 18 games played, still managed to go minus 10. Patrick Laine is not a fantasy option anymore and is one of the most blinding players of the last few years in this pool.
Yeah, and he's definitely not an Austin Matthews, right? So when we look at when he came in, what managers, we'd have to go back and take a look at, 2016, 17, 18, kind of what managers were willing to spend on him at that point. It quickly petered off. It took a chance at $75. I mean, that's probably got to go down as one of the worst picks for the year for sure, or at least in for consideration. So definitely not an option. I think if all the players that we've mentioned before in terms of blindingly bad, Laine has to be right near the very top of that list.
You know, and then Connor Brown ranked 116. There was a lot of hype coming into the season, not because of the stats that Brown put up in the NHL, but he is a proven top 6, top 9 player, but it's because Brown scored 128 points in Erie with Connor McDavid as his centerman in 2013-14. So people thought this was worked so well in the OHL. naturally it's going to work. In the NHL, didn't work out that way. Brown, it took him until 2 or 3 weeks ago to score his first goal.
Yeah.
3 goals and 10 points, 0 power play points on the season, $60 spent on Connor Brown at the draft for that production.
Yeah, we're seeing a bit, I won't say a trend at all, but a couple of your draft picks for sure.
Oh no, that's the trend.
Is you're searching here, right? And you know, if you're going to roll a dice on a player, and I'm not trying to talk this up here in terms of comparing your pickup of Brown at the draft versus Holdy's pickup of Line A, I would have rolled the dice on Brown over Line A any day of the week. Unfortunately, it did cost you $60. I still think you're smarter than Holdy, though.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay, let's go on to defense. And I'm actually the third defenseman, kind of made me laugh this morning. We'll talk about that in just a second.
yeah, I got to fill a spot. Okay. So here we're talking about that.
Sergachev is our 167 ranked. Unbelievable. On Tampa Bay, only 2 goals, 34 games played. Then he had that serious injury in New York. But minus 16 on the Lightning does not make sense. And only 53 shots on goal. So, about a shot and a half a game on goal for someone who plays so many minutes on Tampa Bay. Again, just not a great season for him. $92 is what Gump paid. So, high hopes for Mikhail Sergachev at the beginning of the year as well. I don't know how he bounces back next year. And
what does he even fit in, right? That's the other side of it. Go ahead.
I don't know if you have anything else to say about Sergachev, but I have something to say about the next guy.
Yeah, Hampus Lindholm.
So he was my boy last year. I had him. I think I picked him up in like November or December, and just an unreal player to have on your team from a fantasy perspective. He put up over 50 points. I think he led the NHL. He was like plus 40 at the end of the year. Just a super reliable defenseman. And when we look at him this year, he's still playing 22 minutes a night. He finished fourth in Norris Trophy voting last year. That's how good his season was. It's unthinkable today with 26 points, 95 shots on goal, 3 goals on the season. Completely different player this year for Boston.
Just not the same in any way. Is this a blip here? And that's the question managers have to ask now. Moving into next year, is this kind of just a blip, or is this kind of like the Line A effect here as well? But I'm more kind of lean to that. This is a bit of a blip for this player for sure. Still has some greater appeal than perhaps some of the other names that we've heard on this list.
Okay, so I laughed because I did the research for this, and I forgot to share it with you.
Yeah,
and so you texted me just before we started shooting this. Can you share the liner notes for the podcast? And because this morning I was like, why did he pick up Colton Parayko, who we have as somebody on our Total Eclipse of the Lug episode? But it's because you hadn't seen that Colton Parayko, your most recent pickup, is one of the worst defensemen of the league this year, ranked 34th, 0 power play goals, 1 power play point on the season, but still owned in 82% of the fantasy leagues on ESPN. We can maybe say 82.1% because he now is part of the Careless Whisperers.
Yeah, well, and I picked him up for a couple of reasons. One, there's not a whole lot on that list that are going to be playing tonight. Pietrangelo's just actually got upgraded. Just this moment got a notification that he's now day-to-day. He was out, but I doubt he'll play tonight. So I may let this one roll, and I may let this one see what happens tonight for sure. But it comes back to my other comment and question to you is, is defense becoming the category of concern for managers? And obviously by this pickup for me, it just might very well be.
All right, let's get into our goalies here. You want to start off with, let's start off, Joonas Korpisalo.
Yeah.
We've talked about these goalies a lot, so we don't have to spend a lot of time on them. But Korpisalo ranked 83rd as a starting goalie in the NHL, 0 shutouts, 333 goals against, an 889 save percentage. He has the worst advanced stats of any starting goalie in the NHL this year, and Warham plucked him from the draft for $68.
Yeah, it's got to be up there as one of the worst, for sure. Obviously, Warham wouldn't have paid a cent for him if he knew that this was going to be the season. You don't win any of those categories with those stats of a 3.33 goals against or an 889 save percent average. Zero shutouts or any, like, it doesn't get worse than that. So, well, maybe it does, or close to it, is Vanacek, who's our second goaltender, ranked 72. So not that far behind in 29 games played, 17 wins, zero shutouts, again, 318 goals against, 890 save percentage. Like, these are Corposalo type numbers, with a lot fewer games for sure. But he is definitely the second worst keeper in the NHL this season. Like, just absolutely horrific. And Mike used a slot on him for sure. It was something to be held for sure. $51 in draft money. Crazy.
I know. What can you say about Vanacek? We've said enough about the guy this year. Let's not pile on him anymore, except that we find his performance absolutely blinding. And then Samsonov, who's probably the best of the three guys on this list, but
especially still, recently, like, I would say, yeah, like, recently for sure. But we're taking the whole seat over the whole entire season and not just the last couple of weeks.
So Samsonov, 3.06 goals against average, 892 save percentage, kind of, Vanacek type stats.
Yep, very much so.
He only has four more wins than Vanacek, but $122 again. So two of our goalies, the reason why we're putting them in the Total Eclipse episode is because they were keepers. And when you're a keeper, you're taking up a very important slot in the pool, but also you're taking away money away from managers. In this case, $122 for Robka.
Yeah, we're talking big dollars. And again, we're looking at over the course of the season here, hasn't been stellar in any way. The last couple of weeks have been more redeeming for Mike, for sure, to try to make that trade a little bit more glossy. But it hasn't been the season at all. When it comes down to Samsonov, and he was a drop, right? So when you're dropping $122, you're paying for somebody at the draft $122, and then later in the season drop, that stings and that blinds.
Okay, let's finish it off with some trades here.
Oh, so we've walked through the positions: center, left wing, right wing, defense, and goalie. I don't think there's, our listeners are seeing, or hearing any names that are hugely surprising off of that list. A lot of them have become, like, very much, stayaways or keepaways. Definitely not players I don't think you would trade for, would you?
No. I don't think. Can we do something here? I'm just thinking. We've been kind.
Yes, we have. Let's
do this first. I'm going to suggest we talk about the Zoltok trade and the Sandpiper one.
This is a great one.
Then we'll cue Mike.
Yeah.
To hit the, the 30-second fast forward on a hit it several times.
Yeah. Keep pressing that, buddy.
Yeah, so the first one is actually a trade that did not happen, and I asked Doug for a screenshot of this because
for evidence.
Excuse me, not many misses for Robka this year, but this was a miss, and this is the trade that never happened that would have seen Sidney Crosby, Rasmus Dahlin, and Philip Gustafson go to Zoltok in exchange for Jeremy Swayman, Rupe Hintz, and Brandon Montour. Instead, Zoltok acquired Verhaeghe, Fox, Alex Lyon, and Tarasenko. He either dropped or traded Lyon to me. I can't remember. And then Verhaeghe is out for the rest of the season.
Right, so that he's been dropped.
This one to me is a bit blinding because if by some chance Robka does not win the pool,
yeah,
it could actually be this misstep that would prevent him from his first ever Keith Primeau Cup.
Without a doubt. So when this trade went through, so when the trade between Robka and Gibby went through, Bowlby immediately chimed in and said, so if we remember this in our WhatsApp story, right? So Bowlby immediately chimed in, he would have done better with me, or something like to that effect, right? I would have offered more, or something like that, jab, jab, jab. And so, of course, you are like, I need the proof, right? So show me. And when you take a look at this, especially now, okay, great on Gibby, right? We have to acknowledge Gibby's greatness here in terms of what he got back and what he needs to move forward. But this is without a doubt a big miss, right? So when we talk about trades, it's what could have happened, right? And we know what Crosby's been doing. He's been an absolute holy terror, and is one of the hottest players right now in the NHL. That alone would have been enough to seal the deal. But this is a miss for Robka, and one that's very odd and not characteristic of his, you know, pretty much almost a perfect season for him, right? In some ways, but this is a blemish for him as well.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go to the second of our three blinding trades, and that was a 1-for-1, where I got Ovi from.
Yeah, that's a goodie.
For Vincent Trocheck, and. Yeah. Really what seemed like a minor trade at the time, I believe I had too many centers. And I told Robbie, just give me a left winger. And we did it very quickly. It was like one of those trades where we just needed some positional guys. Well, doesn't Ovi wake up shortly thereafter and decide that he actually does know how to score goals? He's been a top five or top four goal scorer in the league since. He's vaulted up to top 10 or 11th in ranking for left wingers out of nowhere. And he's on pace since January, he's on pace for a 55 goal season. So he completely rediscovered how to score shortly after Robbie traded him.
Yeah. So let's put it into a couple of contexts here for the listeners. So one is the context of this season. So Ovi was kind of quiet. He wasn't necessarily the same type of player that, you know, league managers that we're used to. So that kind of allowed you an opportunity to pounce here, and boy, did you ever. So Worm trades him away, gets a player back that was performing a bit better for sure. It seemed for him like a good deal, but then Ovi goes on a complete tear. The second context is your relationship here with Worm with respect to bad trades.
And so, with respect to Ovechkin, I think.
And with respect to Ovechkin. So we all remember the live, we covered this earlier in the season for podcasts here, the live stream event where it's actually captured proof of that deal that went so bad, and where Worm said, "What did I do?" kind of thing. Oh my goodness. And this is much of the same thing, I would think. So good on you, bad on Worm. You know, there's the, what's the saying, fool me once kind of thing. I don't know.
That's the one. George Bush, actually. Have you ever seen the clip of George Bush trying to say that?
No.
Where he's like, fool me once. And then he kind of pauses because he's not sure what to do next. He's like, fool me twice. You're not going to fool me twice or something like that. You got to watch the clip. It was such a
joke. So that's Worm. So like, I don't think Worm is George Bush, but anyway,
they have a lot of similarities.
He's Worm is one of our poet laureates. So I don't think Bush would fall in that category, but listen.
Well, I would like to maybe challenge that before Donald Trump became president. Yes. I would agree with you, but he looks like a poet laureate compared to that guy.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, but this is, you know, we come back to a Bushism. This isn't some strategery that's being demonstrated by Warren, for sure. Shame on you, Warren.
Okay, so let's do this to make Mike feel good. Let's do the sign off, then we'll go silent for a second so that he can get off, and then we'll talk.
Episode number 108, Total Clips of the Lugue. Angela, what do we got planned for next week?
We're going to, you know, we're down to the final race here. So we got to look at the top four and the changes that are going to happen this week. And, you know, really dig into those stats and see who's got to do what in the last week. But this has been a great episode.
Yep. See you later, guys. Everybody, bye. Okay. Now, I think Mike's probably gone by now, right?
He's gone. Yep. Okay. So is this the worst trade in the 22-year history of the League of Ordinary Gentlemen?
Well, Bowlby sure thinks so, right? You know,
who doesn't think so?
This is we need to bring back you know, awards and trophies, right? Back into the, we've got a couple, right, going here, but we got to bring back some of the classics. And this has, you know what I mean, I'm on the receiving end here. So, I mean, I can't really, I don't want to criticize Mike, so I'm going to leave that to you, but I was very happy with this deal.
you can't, it actually can't even, it's so ridiculous. It can't even be criticized. It's eclipse worthy. You can't stare at this for too long. So the trade again, as we all know, McDavid, Matthews, and Grubauer for Samsonov, Vasilevsky, and Rantanen, who, by the way, is hurt now. If Mike didn't see the highlights from last night, he's not listening anymore anyway, so it doesn't matter.
No, he's
too like, he is going to be out for a while.
Grubauer's been playing actually okay.
I know, but what's going through Mike's head? Like, I'm going to trade Connor McDavid. I need goalies. I'll trade McDavid. It makes sense at this point in the year. Okay, that makes sense. For Vasi and Samsonov, McDavid, we're getting some goalie stats. That makes sense. But oh, no. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to add a sweetener. Why don't I add Austin Matthews as a sweetener? Instead of like Chris Kreider, I'll just throw in Austin Matthews as a sweetener.
Mm-hmm. Good sweetener.
That is a good sweetener.
Like sweet and low. Sweet and low.
Yeah, that's stevia worthy.
Stevia.
Yeah.
This is the stevia award.
Wait, but it gets better. Because not only did he choose to trade McDavid and Matthews, he actually traded it to his biggest competition, the guy who's in fourth place, kickstarting an unnecessary race for third place that did not exist prior to the trade.
And would have never existed, actually.
Never.
The biggest risk that I was facing was you. And if this trade didn't happen, I firmly believe, to be honest with you, that I would be in fifth place.
So looking at, you know, the dozen or 15 players on the Total Eclipse episode and the other two trades, I think we're finishing off with what is truly the retina burning moment of the season in the trade that you did with Mike.
Yeah, it could go down as the retina burning moment of in Luke history, but we'll leave that one up for debate because there's some other doozies. I've been on the other side of some doozies, but this one will hold a special place in people's hearts for a while, I think.
Yeah, I think it will. Hey, listen, so now that let's wrap this up because I think we've done a good job of going through the eclipse, but now that Mike's not listening to the podcast, I need to let you in on some things. So I've just to drive him a little bit crazy, I have been subscribing to a lot of online stuff using his email address, but also I'm sending him physical catalogs now right to his home nonstop. So like American Girl Doll magazine is now going to his house. Have you been doing anything to set him over the edge?
Yeah, I've signed him up for Columbia House. So he's getting a whole bunch of CDs ordered, if that still exists. And I've ordered some Bowflexes for him, like multiple Bowflex. Yeah.
Nice. And you chose the option where you can't return them.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Did you choose the CDs for him on Columbia House?
Yeah. You know, it's similar to our playlist as well. Yeah.
And I guess in closing, it's also good for us to say that we have weekly sponsors and we're thankful for them. But Columbia House was just signed as our presenting sponsor. So it will be the Lug podcast presented by Columbia House. And if you guys haven't seen the deal yet, for just a couple of dollars, you're going to get 10 CDs plus, if you use the code Lug, 2 bonus CDs. And then you can just subscribe and pick up CDs thereafter as you wish.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So please do that. Please support a great company, Columbia House. And that has, folks, that has been episode 108, Total Eclipse of the Luke.